Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, we have rightfully been mainly focused on the Irish athletes in Paris this week, and I suppose focused more on the sports side of things. But I think this Olympics, perhaps like none before really, has been this huge pop culture event in a new way as well. Dave Hanratty, host of the No Encore podcast. Good afternoon.
Hello, sir. How's things?
Good. So we're going to talk a little bit about the colour that's been going along, maybe around the sidelines, but it's actually, I think it's been kind of central for a lot of people too. First off, what is Snoop Dogg doing at the Olympics?
Stealing the show in many, many ways. He is a living meme, but we should underline that he is there in a professional capacity. He's there on behalf of NBC, the NBC broadcasting company in America. Back in 2021, he hosted a highlight show with Kevin Hart, just going through kind of highlights from the Olympics for NBC. And they were like, this was such a hit. This has done so well. Why don't we just send him over there as a professional journalist? He's one of us now. He's a member of the Fourth Estate, and we have to welcome him in to our brethren. But he's walking around there doing all kinds of things in his beautiful bespoke jacket that he's had made for him as well. So he's there, he's ran with the Olympic torch, he has danced with the US gymnastics team, he went to the equestrian events there, I think it was yesterday, in full dressage. He's gotten swimming lessons from Michael Phelps. The man okay. is having the time of his life. Now, Snoop Dogg will go to an event if the price is right, no problem. Yeah. But also, like, you're not going to turn Snoop Dogg away from a party. Everyone just seems to adore him. And actually, it's reflected in the ratings. They have gone up. And in fact, one NBC executive said that he's, quote, an ambassador for happiness, which seems to be the case all around.
Who knew, like, when Snoop started out that he'd be embraced like this by the mainstream? So he's the vibes master, kind of, for the Yanks. Tell us then, though, about another hip-hop legend. Flavor Flav of Public Enemy is kind of in the environs as well, but in a different way.
Yeah, I guess, like, not that Snoop is just doing it for the money. He actually does love the Olympics. But in Flavor Flav's case, it's certainly a much more altruistic thing, because you have incidents of athletes, again, as you were talking on the panel earlier on, these are elite athletes doing superhuman things, but they face real life problems. So take the case of Veronica Frawley, who's a member of the US track and field team. She went on Twitter and said, I can't pay my rent. I'm going to the Olympics, but I actually can't pay my rent. I'm not being supported by the athletics commissioner, whichever, which led Flavor Flav to see the tweet and respond to it and say, send me your details. I'll sort that out for you. No problem. So you can work about what's happening. And I think a Reddit co-founder helped her as well. But Flavor Flav has also been sponsoring the US women's polo team, and he's been just
brilliant.
I know, it's incredible. Like, and he's not doing it for, you know, just for clout. You know, I mean, people just like the guy. He's a nice guy. He's trying to help people out, which is, like, sure, it does him no problem on the PR front, but he seems to genuinely have a vested interest in the individuals involved, the hardships that they are facing, and he just wants to see them succeed and not have to worry about things like keeping the lights on.
Excellent. Let's talk briefly about, there's a lot of celebrities turning up as spectators. I mean, they always do at the Olympics, but, like, it seems a bit more kind of, in one way, random the way where and who is turning up, and a bit, because it's Paris, is a bit more attractive to them.
I think that's a big part of it, and obviously Paris is having a good PR moment as well because of recent political events. I mean, it hasn't turned into a far-right fascist state as we thought it might overnight, so that's attractive. It's the city of romance and love. It's also the first Olympics since the COVID era, of course, so you have a lot more kind of crowds there than we had last time. It feels a lot more communal, a lot more global. And let's be fair, you know, I hate to use this term, but, you know, it's brand synergy. Like, I mean, it's mutually beneficial. There are celebrities like Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo there to promote Wicked, but they're also there to watch the games, of course. And you do have, like I say, Snoop Dogg working there in a professional capacity, but getting more and more involved. Greta Gerwig is there. She seems to just love the games. I know we're going to talk about Tom Cruise later on. He's been popping up at all kinds of sporting events. The question, I guess, becomes, though, is this overshadowing it? Does it bother you as a viewer? Like with Taylor Swift going to the NFL games, massive ratings increase for them there, but the purists will say, we don't want them involved at all. Please keep the camera on the athletes. They're the real stars.
Okay, and the athletes, though, in a way, are kind of, if the celebrities are trying to kind of get sports kudos here, I think some of the athletes then are crossing over into celebrities as well in terms of their breakout personalities this year.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we've seen with Simone Biles, obviously, you know, she's already a star outside of this, but this has only enhanced that level of it. I mean, if you're a celebrity and you're there, you want to get a photograph with her, not the other way around. But we've seen people come from complete obscurity, at least to us, you know, to the worldwide watching public who wouldn't ordinarily watch things like, say, the air pistol shooting, which I must confess, I'm no expert, but I'm a lot more interested now because we've seen at least two people come out of this and just become weird, viral internet sensations overnight for just doing their job in a very kind of strange way.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, take Kim Yeji from South Korea. So she looks like a sci-fi villain from The Matrix. She has these incredible eyeglasses. You know, we're both wearing nice glasses today, but nothing like this. This looks like something from the year 94 or something. And she just has this cool style. She wears this custom-made Fila jacket that has become in and of itself a sensation. There was an article in GQ of where can I get this? But just a 10-second clip of her picking up her air pistol, firing it, and kind of, you know, bowing her head a certain way, hand in the pocket. That went super viral, and everyone was just like, we need to cast her in an action film. And then on the other side of it, you have a Turkish shooter who is 51 years of age. His name is Yusuf Dikeç, and this guy looks like he just got out of bed and just rocked in and just didn't even do anything. He's wearing standard glasses, a generic t-shirt, hand in the pocket as well. I mean, this must be good for the coordination or something.
Yeah.
And just everyone's like, this guy looks like he doesn't care. Now, they've both won silver medals. And for some reason, the internet has just seen either a still image or a 10-second clip, and they've memed the hell out of these people. They are now, you know, mocked up like they're video game bosses. They should definitely get entertainment agents if they don't already have one, because yes, these are athletes. They might not look like it. They might look like that they belong in a different world. But coming out of this, the crossover appeal is probably there for them.
Are they calling him random Turkish dad? Is that right?
He has that vibe. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. And allied to that then, they're kind of saying this is the first TikTok Olympics really. And then, so a lot of the serious athletes and everything are all pushing out their personalities, their humour and everything. We're seeing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff from the Olympic Village and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, Reese McClanahan has stolen highlights for what happened yesterday, and fair play to him, by the way. What a wonderful story that is. But he was one of many people ahead of this saying, like, here's the Olympic Village, here's the beds that we're sleeping on, these kind of cardboard-built things, which apparently is to discourage some of the more, I guess, carnal antics that might occur in the Olympic Village once you've got your athletics part done. So he was kind of jumping up and down the bed, like doing kind of wrestling style elbow drops on it. And that's easy content because that's kind of how it is now. Yes, there are some athletes who will focus entirely on just going out there and trying to win a gold medal. And that's obviously the main reason to be there. But in this day and age, you know, it's not like you're a bit of everything, really. You can't just be one thing. And social media and TikTok in particular, where you get these kind of cut down clips, sometimes out of context completely, 10, 30 seconds that take you into a different place, can actually become, can generate more headlines than, say, your unbelievable Herculean physique or what you do on a track. Yeah. And that's just the way it's gone now. It's reflective of how online viral these games are and the aforementioned people that we mentioned. We didn't even mention Gianmarco Tamberi, the Italian who lost his wedding ring. That became a story in and of itself, and people were making TikToks about him and saying, oh, if this happened to me, I would find it to be the most incredible romantic thing because it happened in Paris and, you know, they're together forever. So everyone has a way into this, and TikTok, so, for a lot of people, is that way.
And I guess a lot of these athletes as well want to punch through and be noticed, don't they? Because, like, this is the nature of getting sponsorship and the rest of it.
Yeah, and there is a huge commercial aspect to this as well. We're seeing, like, this has kind of been billed as, like, the most sponsored, the most, you know, product placement-y Olympics going so far. You had Simone Biles using a certain makeup brand that she's not sponsored by, but it's going to do no harm for that makeup brand or her. And a lot of people, again, are pushing back on this because you have massive contracts with people. You know, like, the athletes have to take a selfie if they win a medal, if they're on the podium with a specifically branded phone at the end of it.
And we see them being handed this phone.
Exactly, yeah. which takes me back. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember back in 2009 when Roger Federer had that amazing Wimbledon final against Andy Roddick. And after Andy Roddick was, you know, just dead in his feet by the end of it, Federer kind of won in that robotic style of his. And the first thing he did was he put on his gorgeous new Nike jacket with the gold lining, put the watch on. And I was just like, this is awful behavior. But that's how it is now. If you have a contract, or if the games themselves have a contract with a certain sponsor, that's known ahead of time. And that's just, unfortunately, again, to use that awful phrase, it's brand synergy. It helps everyone. And I should say as well, not that this is the most wholesome reason, but the Olympics are trying to, like, I guess, move away from a taxpayer funded model. They're trying to have sponsorships kind of cover the bills for the most part. And this is, in and of itself, actually a billion-dollar industry.
Okay. So Tom Cruise, you mentioned, So he's been around a lot this summer. Yeah.
He's been popping up at all kinds of sporting events because he loves it. Tom Cruise just loves life. You know, he's having. This guy is having his brat summer. Absolutely. This is his moment. And I love Tom Cruise. I think he's the last great movie star. And I can't wait to see Mission Impossible 8. And I desperately hope that nothing goes wrong with what he's intending to do next weekend at the closing ceremony.
What's he going
to
do?
He is going to rappel from the roof of the Stade de France, 137 feet to the floor, as part of this multimedia package. Apparently he's already shot some of this of him weaving through Paris on a motorbike with the Olympic torch. And now to close the ceremony for real, like you've seen in the movies. And of course, as we all know, famously, he does his own stunts. He climbed to the top of the Burj Khalifa. It was terrifying. We're going to get to see in real time a 62-year-old man, by the way, jump from the roof of the Stade de France down. And yes, this will promote
Mission Impossible. Like come down a rope or something. What's
the
rappel?
Zipline, basically. Yeah. Like he's going to like just kind of fly down. And, you know, it's a stunt. It'll be rehearsed. It'll be all fine. And Tom Cruise is the most weirdly death-defying actor in Hollywood. Yeah. I just pray nothing goes wrong because he is a daredevil personified. I don't know if he's going to get a medal for his efforts, but at this stage, he probably deserves one.
Yeah, and in a way, it will be the perfect end to the kind of crazy vibes around the edges of this Olympics. Okay, Dave Hanratty, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.